Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in chapter 6. And today's text should be 14. Parishratendriyatmaham Trit Parito Pabukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishratendriyatmaham Tritparito Pabukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishratendriyatmaham Tritparito Pabukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishratendriyatmaham Tritparito Bubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha. Please chant. Parishratendriyatmanam Tritparito Bhubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishratendriyatmanam Tritparito Bhubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishrantendriyatmaha Tritparito Bhubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Parishrantendriyatmaham Tritparito Bhubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishrantendriyatmaham Tritparito Bhubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Parishrantendriyatmaham Tritparito Bhubukshitaha Snatwa Pitwa Hrade Nadya Upasprishto Gata Shramaha Vaishnavins. Parishrantendriyatmaham Tritparito bubukshitaha Snatwa pitwarade nadya Upatrishto gatashramaha Okay, synonyms. Parishranta, being tired. Indriya, bodily. Atma, mentally. Aham, I. Tritparitaha, being thirsty. Bhukshitaha, and hungry. Snata, taking a bath. Pitva, and drinking water also. Rade, in the lake. Nadyaha, of a river. Upasprishtaha, being in contact with. Gata, got relief from. Shramaha, tiredness. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally. And I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river lake and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. Please repeat. Thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally. And I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river lake. And also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A traveling mendicant can meet the needs of body, namely thirst and hunger, by the gifts of nature, without being a beggar at the doors of the householders. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the house of a householder to beg, but to enlighten him spiritually. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Srinivani Paschachire Shtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantakam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Tapadakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padaan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatamsa Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patita Nang Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by providence, it's a very short purport today because as usual after traveling, devotees usually ask me, can you show some pictures and say something about what you were doing? So having been in Peru for 8 days, I did bring back a little experience to share, so at the end of class I will show a few pictures from... I visited 3 different temple communities there, so we'll see that. So here, Narad Muni in his former appearance, he's relating his experience as a boy. Mother died from the bite of a snake, so he left home and went to simply concentrate on self-realization, experience of the Absolute Truth. Since he at that point had a material body, he's experiencing 2, it's mentioned here, of the enemies of the material body, which are hunger and thirst. As long as we have this material body, we will experience these things. Anybody here ever been hungry? Thirsty? Yeah, so these are 2 of the enemies of the spirit soul who is encaged in a material body. We experience hunger and thirst. But civilized human beings, they make arrangements to take care of the hunger and thirst problem in the easiest and for those who really advance, the most spiritually effective way. which is to take nice foods from the category of the mode of goodness eating, foods that are sweet, fatty, described in the Bhagavad Gita, grains, milk, fruit, flowers, and offer them first in sacrifice. A very, very important aspect that sometimes, especially when I see the younger generation of devotees, overlooking. Krishna's on a battlefield. Krishna and Arjuna are standing on a battlefield. Krishna's prophet said it took half an hour, 45 minutes maximum for Krishna to relate the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So why would he take the time to mention Yagya Shishta Ashinakshanta Muchante Saprakilbashai Punjate Te Chagam Papam Yepachanta Atmakarna? Devotees of the Lord are relieved from all kinds of sinful reactions because they offer their food in sacrifice before eating it. Those who eat only for the satisfaction of the tongue verily eat only sin. And this was evident. One of the communities there, or actually was a former community in Lima, they had a nice temple near the ocean, an area called Miraflores. But due to some problems, they leased it out to a Gurukuli boy, who's now not a boy anymore, it's an old man. And he started a restaurant there, and then gradually the restaurant has become a vegan restaurant and doesn't serve prasadam. So they took me there, and I asked frankly, I asked the manager who was, the owner wasn't there, but the manager, I asked, is this prasadam? And she said, frankly, no. The cooks are not devotees, the food is not, it's a nice vegan restaurant, very popular, a lot of wealthy people come there to eat every day, but it's not prasadam. And right here in New Dwarka, we see some of our younger generation especially, they do that. They are very proud of being vegan, but they are not into so much wondering whether it's prasadam or not, but it's vegan. That doesn't matter. Krishna doesn't say if it's vegan that you don't have to offer it. It says, patram pushyam phalam toyam. Whatever you eat, whether it's fruit, flour, water, whatever you're eating, offer it to me. And again, it's on a battlefield. Why would Krishna take the time to say this? That means it's extremely important. Whatever you eat. And then an offering, again, doesn't have to be very complicated. It's not that you have to have deities and you have to have silver plates. And no, wherever you are, you're on Sankirtan, you have to buy a granola bar, you can offer it, you know, very quickly. And on your iPhone, you have a picture of your guru, Prabhupada, you say a few prayers, and it's a considered offering. Prabhupada said the prayers to the guru are sufficient for making an offering. So who can't take a few minutes to offer it? So this culture, or actually lack of culture, of going to Trader Joe's or Sprouts or wherever, buying something and just biting it and eating, that's condemned by Krishna himself. Don't eat just for the satisfaction of your tongue. Offer it to me first. And there's a price to pay. It's not that way, Krishna said that, but I don't know. There's a price to pay. You're eating only sin, Krishna said. And sin is what keeps us in this material world. So we can overcome the hunger problem, we can overcome the thirst problem in a very spiritually effective way just by taking a few minutes to offer whatever we eat. Whatever we eat. So that's one thing that's being pointed out here. Now, this is a different age, a different time. It's not Kali Yuga. So in that age, it was recommended you go out looking for a spiritual master. You go out. Narada Muni was very fortunate that his spiritual masters, the Bhaktivedantas that stayed at the inn where his mother worked, they came to him. But generally speaking, in former ages, Prabhupada said, those who were seeking spiritual knowledge, they would go out and look for an appropriate spiritual master. But he said in Kali Yuga, nobody's interested in spiritual advancement. Nobody's interested in spiritual knowledge. Therefore, the spiritual master has to come to us and canvas. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please read Bhagavad Gita. Please offer what you eat before you eat it. Spiritual master has to come and beg. And even then, we can't do it. That's how fallen we are. You see? We don't really deserve to be put on the spiritual path because we're not really interested in Kali Yuga. We're more interested in saving up, beg, steal, or borrow, get enough money to buy the new iPhone X or whatever. You know, I already have an iPhone 6 or 7 or 8, but the iPhone X is out. I got to get that. All my friends have it. I'll look like I'm a loser if I don't have it too. You know, this is what drives people. This is literally what drives them. And I'll show you at least one picture. The traffic in Peru is horrible, at least in the Lima area where I was. Horrible. I mean, it makes our traffic look like nothing. Even one of the communities I went to is kind of in the outskirts, way in the outskirts. It's practically countryside. Still, every minute you're giving class, every minute huge trucks and traffic is just going by outside. It's just like horrible. Horrible. And this is what drives people in Kali Yuga. They have to have the new, latest car. They have to get another car. They already have one car. They have to get... This is what drives us, not spiritual knowledge. So, in Kali Yuga, literally, we don't have to go out of home. It's not even recommended. Just stay home and follow these simple principles. Offer what you eat, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, if you're fortunate enough to live in a temple community, then everything is at your disposal. There's absolutely no excuse if you live in a temple. But even those who live outside, you can make your home into a temple. Very simply, Prabhupada said, if they just put a picture of the Panchatattva, you don't even require deities. Sometimes devotees prematurely acquire deities. They're not ready to worship deities, but they get deities anyway. And it's offensive. It's very easy to commit offense, even to the Gornitai deities. Gornitai, very mercifully, they don't take offense at most of, you know, things. But that doesn't mean you should offend them. It's not that if I have a good friend who is, you know, very nice and sweet and very forgiving, therefore I should constantly push the buttons. And no. If you care about the person, then you try not to offend them in any way. So similarly to deities. Srishti Gornitai are not so easily offended, but that doesn't mean we should offend them. And I've seen so many cases of young devotees who prematurely start worshipping deities, especially Shilas. There was one brahmachari who was here for a while, was carrying around a Shila in a bag, trying to imitate the Goswamis. Wherever he went, to the beach, to the bathroom, wherever he went, he had a Shila. And sure enough, you know, after some time, he was gone. That's offensive. You cannot worship Shalagram Shila in such a casual way. It's very, very, you know, this is what rabbinical training is all about. How to worship Shalagram Shila properly. Offering the right items and bathing and, you know, it's just technically not so easy. So we should not prematurely, you know, start worshiping deities. Prabhupada didn't want that, especially if you live in a devotee community. Right here in New York, Prabhupada said, no, they should not be worshiping Gornitai at home. Let them come and worship the deities in the temple. That's what the deities are here for. These deities, three altars, can accept service from the whole world. What to speak of a few hundred devotees? I mean, there's no end to service to the deities in terms of cooking, cleaning, preaching on their behalf. They want us to do that, to go out and bring all their fallen children to them. That's why they're standing here, looking so beautiful every day. And that looking beautiful requires a lot of planning and effort, and we know that. It's not easy to maintain this standard of deity worship year after year, decade after decade. So everybody who's in the community, your first duty is to plug into worshiping the deities in the temple. Your home deities, your ashram deities, that shouldn't even really be there, according to Prabhupada. If you're living in a temple community, you should not be worshiping deities at home. Come to the temple and worship these deities. But even if you do have deities at home, then that's secondary. Your first business should be to worship these deities, the ones that are established in the temple. Not that I have my deities and I don't have time to come here. No. That's a lame excuse. So again, Narad Muni, as a boy, setting the proper example, he's going out to find the absolute truth, to fully surrender. Of course, again, he's Narad Muni, so he's never recovered over. Just like Arjuna, he's never really lost in any way. He's an eternal servant of Krishna. Once one devotee wrote to Prabhupada and asked that you say Krishna Lila when it begins here, the very next moment it begins somewhere else and like that. So it's always traveling. We call it the roadshow. So he said, so Arjuna is with Krishna in all of those Lilas. And is it the same Arjuna? And Prabhupada wrote back and said, yes. So at Krishna's will, the living entity can practically expand to be with Krishna at every moment, everywhere he is. So Krishna's Lila is going on. And we are meant to revive our attraction for Krishna, our love for Krishna, so we can, again, be a permanent part of Krishna's Lila. Permanent part. So in Kali Yuga, again, we're not interested in going out looking for the absolute truth. And even if we're a little bit interested, there are so many pitfalls, so many persons claiming to have access to the absolute truth. If you just pay a monthly fee of $1,500 and like that, it's still going on. Even though Prabhupada smashed that openly, publicly, this business of selling mantras, and the absolute truth is not yours to sell. He's made himself available in the form of his holy name, prasadam, etc., freely. But still, to this day, people are doing in Peru. I ran into there are some spiritual societies there. $1,500 a month will teach you hatha yoga and give you mantras and like that. So this is going on. People are still being cheated. Cheaters and the cheated. We want something cheaply, and therefore we may open ourselves up to be cheated, and sure enough, so many cheaters will come forward. Yes, yes. I have the way. I have the means by which you can become self-realized. Just give me $1,500 a month. Imagine how rich we could be here if we were charging everybody $1,500. But that's not it. And therefore, sometimes people make the mistake of judging a spiritual society based on their material assets. We see this as, again whenever we travel. Look at such and such camp. They have such nice factories and restaurants, and look at ISKCON. No, ISKCON was not founded to open factories. ISKCON was not founded necessarily even to open restaurants. Prabhupada said at the end, yes, you can stop expanding temples and open restaurants / reading rooms. That's the really emphasis. That people can come and take Krishna prasadam, not just vegan, unoffered food, and they can have Prabhupada's books to read. That was the whole point, to expose them to the spiritual knowledge. Not just come and sit down and eat a plate of vegetarian or vegan food that's not even offered. No. That's not what we're about. We're not about making money just by selling food. We want people to get Krishna prasadam and exposure to Srila Prabhupada's books, which will set them on the path back to home, back to Godhead. So if somebody's very successfully running a nice vegan restaurant, this is very successful, this restaurant in Miraflores, very, very successful. Fancy tables and chairs and outdoor seating area, and very well put together. And then upstairs is a yoga studio. And the property belongs to ISKCON of Lima, but many years ago they leased it out to this Gurukula person who's now at least in his 40s, maybe even 50 already. And he's running it like that. And he admits that he's not chanting, he's not following, but he's running a restaurant selling vegan food and doing very nice materially. But that's not what we're about. We're not about just material assets. We're about spiritual assets. Spiritual assets. It's a spiritual process. The temples are places where people can come and learn the process of surrendering to Krishna. Learn that process thoroughly and have examples of persons who have been doing it for a long time that they can follow. Yes, one can live outside. Nowadays there are many, many initiated devotees who have never lived in a temple, never gone through the temple program. But our experience is that if you don't do that, if you don't live in a temple community and follow the process daily, it's very hard to really catch up the mood of surrender. It's more like I'm practicing Krishna consciousness as a favor. You know, kind of have that attitude. But when you've lived in a temple community, especially you've gone through some periods of crisis management where you had to do 10 times more than you would like to do, then you catch up the mood of surrender. You can really catch up the mood of surrender, of serving the deity under all circumstances, pushing on Prabhupada's movement under difficult situations. That's what the temple community gives you. And so, Narad Muni again, he's going out to look, but we don't have to go out. In this age, literally, Lord Chaitanya and his bona fide followers, they chase after us. Srila Prabhupada, again, could have sat down in Vrindavan and set up a Bhaktivedanta Institute there and waited for people to come to him. But he didn't do that. Because following the mood of his spiritual master, which goes all the way back to Lord Chaitanya, Maya Amargamdeita Ipsita Anvadava, that Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam from the 11th canto. It's a series of verses describing the Mahapurusha. So there's that line there. Maya Amargamdeita Ipsita Anvadava. He's literally chasing Lord Chaitanya, chasing after the conditioned souls, begging them, please chant Hare Krishna, embracing them, giving them love of God on the spot. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya's bona fide followers, they have that same mood. Srila Prabhupada came to the West to chase after us. Please chant Hare Krishna. And again, when he came here, he didn't just sit down and set up an institute somewhere and wait for people to come. He went out in the streets and chanted. And so from the very beginning, he sent his followers out in the streets to chant, to canvas. Please come and chant Hare Krishna. Please come and hear Bhagavad Gita. Please come and take Krishna prasadam, not just vegan food or vegetarian food. Come and take Krishna prasadam. I'm stressing this because it's very important. A few months back, I went to, by invitation, to some yoga studio opening. And so there were some devotees there. And there was some food there. And so I asked, is this prasadam? No, but it's vegan. And they were happily eating. I'm saying, what is this? We're not just vegans or vegetarians. We are prasadamarians. We have to know that it was offered to Krishna. And once a bunch of people are already eating it, you can't offer it, technically. You can't offer something that somebody has enjoyed and then offer it to Krishna. That's not really cool. It's bhoga, and it should remain bhoga until it's offered to Krishna, and then it becomes prasadam, and then you can take it. Not that you go somewhere and it's vegan food and everybody else is already eating and enjoying, and then you take your portion and offer it to Krishna. That's also not cool. So we have to take this seriously. Otherwise, we're putting stumbling blocks on the path of our own progress. Prabhupada said it's like trying to light a fire and pouring water at the same time. Why do that? If you really want a fire, you get dry wood, you light it, you protect it from the wind if it's windy, you know, whatever is necessary to get that fire going. But if you're trying to light fire and at the same time you're pouring water, then don't be surprised if all you get is smoke and your eyes turn red. And So we really need to take all of these seemingly minor details very, very seriously. And then the path becomes very clear and we move very quickly. So Lord Chaitanya is chasing after us. Srila Prabhupada, on catching up that same mood, chased after us, came to the West, sent his devotees out. And therefore, we were discussing yesterday about the fact, different aspects of sannyas that were pretty much overlooked in the beginning, because Prabhupada didn't have time to have his devotees become really, really strong brahmacharis after 10, 20 years, and then gurhastha life, and then vanaprastha life, and Kutichak, and then Bahudak, and then Rajakacharya, and then Parma. He didn't have time. His whole effort was 12 years only. It's mind-boggling when you sit down and you read all these memories of Prabhupada. Like right now I'm reading a couple of them simultaneously. Swami in a Strange Land, a very nice book. And also Samasundar's book. So Prabhupada didn't have time. So yes, there were problems. This international society is barely 50 years old. The whole movement of Lord Chaitanya, which is supposed to last for 10,000 years, is only 550 years old. So, yes, there were problems caused by immature followers doing things prematurely. But Prabhupada really didn't have time. He couldn't wait. So he had to push some of his young devotees who were barely brahmacharis for a couple of years to go out and preach. Go to Africa, go to Japan, go to different... He couldn't wait. So we can't be surprised that many of these individuals had problems because they were pushed out in the world prematurely. Narad Muni at 5 years old is going out. But most 5-year-olds cannot do this. Most 50-year-olds can't do this. Go to jungles full of tigers and snakes and elephants and be unafraid. But Narad Muni, because he's a spiritually realized person, he could do that. So similarly, most 2-year-old in terms of their spiritual experience, 2-year-old devotees were sent out to go and preach. So we can't be surprised that a lot of them ran into difficulty. That's just the nature of putting 2-year-olds out into the world, dangerous place. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we can go on like that forever. So intelligently, the GBC made it more difficult for devotees to take sannyas. Back in the, you know, early days, you just pretty much had to say, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Okay. But in some cases, he said no. Because it was obvious. The person just got married, you know, a year ago, and now they want to take sannyas. No. You can preach, as a householder, Prabhupada said. You don't have to take sannyas. We're a preaching movement. Every ashram is meant for preaching. Brahmacharis, obviously, are meant for preaching. Assisting the advanced preachers. Again, none of us are really preachers. We are assistant preachers. Prabhupada is a preacher, and all of us are meant to assist him in his preaching. He said that directly one day to one devotee. Many times I've recalled this. Prabhupada, when I preach, what do you mean when you preach? I'm preaching, and you're assisting me. So as long as we remember that, we're not preachers, we're assistant preachers. It keeps us in our place. But Prabhupada had to send these young assistant preachers out to open up centers all over the world. Quite successfully, when you think again of how inexperienced they were. Such really pretty high rate of success. And it continues. Again, I'm fortunate enough to travel every year to many different countries. My next trip coming up will be my usual trip at Pallad and Anaswami through Europe. And ISKCON is doing very nicely. Don't let anybody fool you. Again, if you want to judge from the material side, you know, this other Swami's camp, they have such nice factories. And that's not what we're about. We're not about opening factories. We're about spreading Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the predecessor Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, etc. That's what the International Society of Krishna Consciousness was formed for. And, yes, there is a governing body because Prabhupada wanted it. That doesn't mean they're perfect because they've become GBC, but Prabhupada wanted a governing body. His spiritual master wanted a governing body. And very tellingly, most, if not all, of these splinter groups that splinter up from ISKCON, they don't have a GBC. So people may complain and quarrel about what the GBC has done or not done, but then you go off to some other splinter group. They don't have any GBC. They have one person. His way or the highway. That's it. So now you've given up a governing body where you have at least some chance of somebody agreeing with you and helping you. You know, if you have problems with the temple commander, you go to the temple president. You have problems with the temple president, you go to the GBC. You have problems with this GBC, you go to the entire GBC body. There's at least some way of getting some attention to your problem. But you go to one of these spiritual groups, there's one person, this pundit or this, that, one person who is in charge. You don't do it his way, you're out. Forget it. You have no recourse. So now you've given up this society with a governing body for a society with one body. Is that intelligent? You think you're going to have a better chance? And they always present themselves like their society doesn't have any problems. It's kind of so full of problems. Our society doesn't have any problems. Nonsense. A spiritual society means taking persons from material contamination gradually, by following the process, they become purified. And that's true for any organization. Any organization who claims that as soon as you join them, you become a pure devotee, that's nonsense, obviously. So I'm again saying this because one of the biggest obstacles in the path of ISKCON as an organization is people who have left ISKCON to go to other organizations and they simply concentrate on trying to smash ISKCON. Okay, you've left and we've gone to a so-called better organization. Then just go out and do your thing and preach and show the world how good you are. Why always concentrate on ISKCON? But they do that. Simply, ISKCON isn't this. ISKCON's got this. ISKCON. So I always tell them, you're going to die and take birth in ISKCON. You're so concentrated on ISKCON, you're going to die and take birth in ISKCON. Because that's your meditation every day. Even though you've left, you're simply meditating on ISKCON. So anyway, we're very, very fortunate. Those of us who have stuck to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet through thick and thin, which is inevitable in the mature world. Prabhupada used to say, don't think that because you've joined a spiritual society, everything is going to be wonderful. There's problems, danger, even on the royal roads, is how Prabhupada would put it. So we've taken to this path of Krishna consciousness. Let's stick to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, whatever problems there are, you work it out. Don't leave ISKCON. Stay in this society. So if we're really Prabhupada Anugas, we stick to Srila Prabhupada through thick and thin, the ups and the downs, and do our best to solve. And if we are being sincerely motivated to attain the goal, love of Godhead, Krishna Prema, which we know Prabhupada can deliver, then we don't worry. We don't worry so much of things that are beyond our control. We just try to do our part, or a little bit, our best, to at least maintain what Prabhupada has left, if not expanded. And we'll get Prabhupada's blessing. So we can stop here and leave some time to show these pictures. Any questions, comments? Yes, Sri Satchinandan Prabhu. On an individual basis, if you, you know, have the ear of the person who is in charge, you try to rectify them, if possible, if they're willing to listen to you. Because it really doesn't take that much endeavor. It doesn't take that much endeavor to set up a small altar and offer whatever is sold in that. One of the places that I visited while I was there was a factory that the devotees have. I brought back some of you. I didn't bring enough for everybody, but some of you tried anyway. They make, you know, these health bars, and they make panettone, and they make different things, and they offer everything. So everything that comes out of that factory is prasadam. So whether you're running a prasadam factory or a restaurant, you can do that. It really doesn't. It's just a question of purity of heart, purity of intention. Because prasadam is supposed to be the secret weapon. It's supposed to be the secret weapon. People, knowingly or unknowingly, if they eat prasadam, they will be infected with Krishna consciousness. Just like we do the Rath Yatra, set up a free food booth. Thousands and thousands of people come and take. They don't know prasadam from anything. But because they've knowingly come and taken foods offered by Hare Krishna devotees at a festival, they're infected. They become infected by Krishna consciousness just by take that simple act of taking prasadam. So if we didn't bother, we'd still too bothersome. Who can, you know? Then we'd be giving so many tens of people sinful reaction. Because even though it's vegan or vegetarian, if it's not offered, Krishna himself says you're eating only sin. So are we going to argue with Krishna? Are we just going to do the right thing? Okay, somebody else had one more question and we'll show the pictures. Anybody else? Okay. Rantarashima Bhagavatam Kija. Srila Prabhupada Kij. Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Can you turn on the TV again? 1 second. So like I said, there are three communities that I visited in the Lima area. One is called the Wilson area, and the other one is Callao, and the other one is Chosica. So I will show some pictures from all three. Okay. Can I have that chair, Gwani? So this is the Chosica Temple. They have very, very beautiful deities there. Gaur Nithai. Small Gaur Nithai. They have three sets of Gaur Nithai deities there. And again, it's a very small community. I'm amazed at how they maintain such a nice standard. This is a temple in Chosica, which is about an hour's drive from downtown Lima. Radha Madan Bihari. At one time, this temple was a thriving community. I was told hundreds and hundreds of devotees. But through attrition, you know, many of the devotees moved to other countries. Some of them went off to splinter groups. So they're really running on a very small bunch of devotees right now. Not a lot of room for error. But still, you can see they maintain a very nice standard of deity worship. So there's Gaur Nithai, there's Radha Madan Bihari, and there's also Sita Rami. I'll see in a moment. They have a really nice collection of Shilas. There's one devotee who worships all the Shilas, and then other devotees do the other deities. Here's Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman. They don't have a lot of devotees. They don't have a lot of Lakshmi. But again, maintaining a very, very nice standard. Hey, most of you recognize that person, right? Yeah, Loka was there. I'm leading Kirtan. So this is greeting Guru Puja. You see a few devotees, but not a lot. And this temple in Chosica is a nice Vedic style temple. Not very big, but beautiful. And they have a little prasadam restaurant that's open during the weekdays. So they make some Lakshmi that way. And this is a group shot afterwards. Okay, so now I'll show you from another community. The community in Callao is the community in Callao is really a Grihastha couple. They opened their home as like a preaching center. So I just wanted to show this one picture because this is on the way from Chosica to Callao. And the traffic is horrible. Literally, the people on the footbridge are walking faster than the traffic is moving. It's just like really, really bad there. Anyway, they have really nice Gorni Taidi, this small altar. And they have, you know, Bhagavatam class every day. And most of these devotees in Callao are disciples of Hanuman Parikshit Goswami. This is the main one. His name is Abhiram Thakur. That's his home. And it's a nice devotee family. Grandma, daughter, and granddaughters, all of them initiated. Well, the grandchildren are initiated yet, but very nice family of devotees. Okay, so that was a short one. And then finally I'll show you the Wilson Temple, which is in a building in downtown Lima, but it's the administrative center of ISKCON in Peru. And their main deities are Gorni Taidi. They also have Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. That's Loka again. After breakfast, he teaches yoga in the temple room. They have a restaurant there. And this is looking from the outside. That's the restaurant. Small seating area inside. But again, with a very small crew, they produce a lot of prasadam every day. So this is the kitchen where they cook for the restaurant. Basically just these two devotees. They crank out so much prasadam. This is a very interesting character, Bhakti Charlie. He's French, but he's living in Peru and he speaks fluent Spanish and English. So they have, this is a separate kitchen where they cook for the devotees. And this Mataji also, Yugali Kishori, she helps. Now this is a stair up to the roof, and on the roof they have Tulsi. And when I travel, I always say that Tulsi is the barometer of the bhakti of a community. If Tulsi is taken care of very nicely, then you know the devotees there are practicing properly. So Tulsi here was very beautiful. A lot of nice Tulsi plants. This is an unusual Ram Tulsi and Krishna Tulsi growing from the same plant. There's a huge banner of the Panchatattva hanging over the temple room. And this is a restaurant again. You can see how many just desserts they have. What to speak of other preparations. I didn't really eat in the restaurant. I just tried one dessert one day. It was very good. They call it a Govinda pie. This is it. I had one piece of that. And it was very good. Pizza, veggie burgers, and it's prasadam, definitely, made in the temple kitchen and offered before it's being sold. That's Chaturatma Gordas, he's in charge of the BBT office there in Lima. He did a lot of chauffeuring me around, very nice devotee. And then these, a lot of these products you see here are made in the factory that I told you about. The factories in Chosika. So, Hare Krishna. And if you want to see more, on my Facebook page I have lots more pictures. Okay, Hare Bol. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Huh? What's that? No, I was only there for 8 days. I just stayed in the Lima area.
They had a really nice little restaurant up there. It was so amazing. Like, under night when we were there, we asked, who's cooking this? Okay. So the cook came out, and guess who it was? Lopa's mother.
Yeah, I heard that. She's a very good cook. Yeah.
Microphone so everybody can hear. Sorry. He's a doctor from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
He's a doctor from Atlanta.
If you go to a restaurant, I know it is not offered to Krishna, but you can offer to Krishna and eat, right? That's not right.
Again, it's not the highest standard, because you want to offer Krishna things that people have not eaten already. If there's a big pot of like this, and other people have already eaten on it, you get your bowl of soup and you offer it. It's better than not offering, but it's not the highest standard, but you can